The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Ticket Stock. It's Monday, the 13th of October. No, it's November, sorry. November 2023. Welcome along. Don't forget, if you like the comments or the content of this, then please hit that like button. Subscribe if you could. Our subscriber numbers are going up, unlike most of the stock market. But, and also download the Vox Markets app if you haven't tried it yet. It's worth it. It's free. And comment, by all means. If you haven't commented before, just sit there and watch. I know a lot of people sit there and watch. You can comment after the show as well as during the show. I will pick it up. In fact, before I get into the main subject, what do you think about this? Comment on this, right? This is. I've got a couple of comments off Greg. This is what Greg says. Just a suggestion. The backdrop Justin uses doesn't help him. So this, which, you know, it's charts. In fact, it put me off his videos to begin with, which is unfair because now I've actually started listening to him and he has some good stuff to say. Thank you, Greg. A more tasteful, subdued backdrop would definitely help. Wood paneling. Something like that. What do you think? Do you like the backdrop? Yay or nay? I can change that. It's easy. In fact, I did look at, quickly did a Google on the weekend. And apparently, and this is why they did it. And you realize, you remember Zoom really took off during COVID because people couldn't do face-to-face chats. And a lot of people had bookcases and plants behind them. Apparently, this is so predictable, isn't it? Apparently, if someone sits in front of a bookcase or a plant, whatever, this scene is more trustworthy. Well, I suppose a chart makes it seem like a bit of a scam artist, maybe. I don't know. So, what do you think? Should I change the backdrop? Let me know. Yay or nay. Should I go for wood paneling? Maybe books? Maybe I'll change it every day this week. Let me know my backdrop. What do you think? Okay. The subject of the day is 2024 is likely to see a big rise, big rally in the stock market. And I'll show you the stats in a bit. Before I do that, let's look at the indices for this morning, see where they're at. FTSE 100 is up, 0.5%, pretty much. Phoenix Group Holdings Insurers there up. Rolls-Royce, Rentokil, Futter. What's some of the fallers here? Entain, Centrica, Diageo still down. See, catch falling knife, don't do that. We did talk about Diageo on Friday's live show. FTSE down, 0.73, I think. And AIM All Share down a smidge, but above 700. That's quite interesting. Okay. So this is what I want to say on this. Mr. Steve, sorry, Super Mono, first off. Super Mono wins the prize for the first commenter on the live show. In fact, you jumped in there just before live, haven't you? So maybe not. I thought Chelsea versus Manchester City was bonkers. Yeah, 4-4, wasn't it? Completely outdone by the politics this morning. David Cameron's back in the cabinet. Wow. In fact, Pete from the Weekend Podcast did say, I think Rishi's got a bet on losing the election. The title of the second ever episode of Succession sums it up. Okay, Mr. Steve, happy with the backdrop. Justin is the chart man. Yeah, it's sort of right there. Yeah, I do look at a lot of charts. I like charts. Mike, would subdued fit personality? Well, exactly. And he was changing it for the sake of Greg. Greg wants wood paneling. He likes a bit of wood paneling. No, backdrop good. There we are. So far, we've got three people saying backdrop good. Maddox, 4. Backdrop is fine. Can you change the backdrop to Margot Robbie asking for a friend? Who's Margot Robbie? I don't know who that is. Is that a nice lady? Paddy, have a daily chart up and everyone has to guess what it is. Yeah, it's a bit of work, that, isn't it? Steve, keep it. Michael, wood chip wallpaper. I'll get my granddad to send some over. Yeah, wood chip. Do you remember that? Wow. Who thought that was a good idea back in the 70s, 60s? That's nuts, isn't it? Okay. This is why I think, right, the AIM All Share will have a big rally. When I'm talking about the AIM All Share. Today, this morning, I spent the time going through the yearly returns on the AIM All Share, okay? Now, look at this. And I went back to 2002. That's all I got to the chart there. 2002, right, down 32%. This is after the dot-com bubble, of course. And then 4 years of gains by a big one, 38% in 2003 and 4, okay? And then a slight smidge of a drop. These are percentages, by the way. 0.2% in 2007, 62% in 2008. Of course, the great financial crash. But look at the gains after that. 64%, 42%. 2011, 25% or 26% down. Next 2 years, 1.8, 20%. It did do a negative year. Again, 70% down in 2014. 3 years of positive. 2018, 18% down. 3 years of positive. Look where we are now. So, basically, what I'm saying is 31% in 2022, 15% so far, okay, in 2023. Whenever the AIM All shares experience a yearly drop exceeding 0.2%, at least the next 2 years has experienced a positive gain. Only on one occasion has the AIM All share had two consecutive years of negative return. And the index rallied very strongly. 64% gain the first year, 42% subsequent year. So look there. That's the only time it's had two yearly negatives. 0.2 and 62. And it rallied very strongly after that. So what do you think is going to happen next year? So it's unprecedented. For a long time, I was around during the great financial crash. And of course, I was dealing, investing in stuff. And that was extreme. Right now, as far as longevity is concerned, it's been, longer than I've ever remembered. I mean, in fact, I think .com is a bit longer. But it's still, I think, looking at that, very rarely do you have two negative years. And when you do, fantastic returns next two years. So that's what I think. Right now, when everyone's bearish and bullish, just look at the stats. It's going back 20 years, okay? 20 years in the AIM All share. And you can see, very rarely you have two negative years. So ladies and gentlemen, I think we're on for a big rally. 2024, a big, big rally. Especially when the central bank started sort of suggesting interest rates coming down. And if you think about it, right, the companies that can't survive the harsh sort of economic environment that we're in, higher interest rates, and if they're carrying a bit of debt, they will go to the wayside. They'll go bust. They'll go pop. What you're left with are the more efficient businesses that can grow faster. And of course, they have more market share they can grab. And they will do. So good companies will really thrive, coming at the back end of 2024. In fact, I think after the first quarter. So I think we're going to have a cracking rally. Absolutely. I mean, we are now sort of, look at AIM All Share. It has rallied a little bit. It's up a little bit. Well, I mean, 9 days. And that in itself is historic. It hasn't exceeded that on a bounce, on a row, since the top of the bull market. And that's what took it to the top of the bull market a couple of years ago. 11 days a rally in a row in September 2021. And it's not been that since. So I think we're setting up here. And I did say a while back, and people laughed and poo-pooed me, saying I think we're in for a good, in November, December, Sander rallies on because we're so oversold. And that tends to happen, regardless of how bearish you are. Big rallies happen, when you're in bearish times. I do think 2024 is going to be a standout year. Just look at the stats. Whenever you have big fall-offs, big sell-offs of that, you have standout years afterwards. Look at that, 2009, 64%. And then 42%. That's why I think 2024 is going to be good. Discuss, ladies and gentlemen. Discuss there, if you want to. Let's have a look. I don't know where John is. Sorry, John. I don't know where John was supposed to be back this week. I think he's had problems with floods and stuff, but he's not back. So do apologize for that. I don't know. I'm going to try and contact him. I don't know where he is. How about a picture of honest John? We've forgotten what he looks like. Yes, maybe I should have just John in the background sitting there. What do you think, John? He doesn't say a lot today. He's not very chatty. If the backdrop affects you, I think you must be emotionally to trade shares. Yeah, I would say that, Greg. I appreciate the input. But, by the way, a couple of days back, I forgot to plug my mic in, so it was coming through my AirPod, so it sounded very tinny. Greg did mention about the audio as well. This should be a bit better quality now. No, I think that. When you're looking at products, if you're tasting products, if it's really tasty, you still buy the product, and you regard what the box is in. Okay, they can change the box, but I mean, it's the content, isn't it? But I quite like that chart. It's a bullish chart with some, moving averages on it. Anyway, Justin, there's no pattern. Yes, there is a pattern. When you have extreme sell-offs in Forma, there's extreme bounces. You've never had more than 2 years negative in the last 20 years. When there's been a negative bigger than 0.2%, it's risen. Something like that. That's a pattern right there. ask a statistician. Statisticians are not good investors. The most intelligent people in the world, economics professors, are not good investors. You know, simple as that. If they would, they wouldn't be just lecturing people on economics. They'd be investing. The FTSE All Share is only worth $49 billion, so only 2% of the small FTSE All Share, about 1% Apple. Or actually, yeah, well, that'll make it rally stronger, Simon. The fact that it's small cap, you know, small caps really rally strongly. What do you think is happening with Dr. Martin's result this week? Well, I've looked at that, if the results are out when they're out. Can you buy AIM index options? I wouldn't go for that, especially with AIM. There's a lot of crap on AIM. Absolutely, it shouldn't be there. And that's the trouble. You know, the access to capital is enabled a lot of businesses that have been doing nothing for many years. It needs a clean out. It needs an economic clean out, and to get just healthy, good companies that people want to invest in. There's still a lot of rubbish on AIM. It's just an economic cleansing, isn't it, downturn? So I would look for good businesses always. That's first and foremost. Don't look for trading up, you know, positions, just things that'll jump on news or hope. Look for businesses that are doing well. John angling for a pay rise. Hey, financial boost just before the general election is always on the cards. Exactly. 2024 is a silver bullet. Oh, I like what you did there. In fact, I mean, I don't know about your stocks. I'm doing quite well the last few months and weeks. I mean, in fact, today, let's look at the front page of Voxer, actually. Let's see what's there. But let's go through the news. But it seems like it's getting a lot easier at the moment for me. I mean, you know, my stock's there. 9 cents, Destiny, all up nicely. No down. Let's look at the front page. Biome Technology, Bioplastic Division, drives 20% revenue increase. This is a trading update they did today. Good Energy actually came out with news, with some new products there. They'll be the most competitive eco sort of energy company out there. And I think they have been voted in the last 4 years the top eco energy provider by Which. I think there's only one other company does that. I think that was Octopus, I think. Sieta as well. In fact, let's look into what's most read here. GST, poof. So a couple of most followed companies here. Markson was followed. British Land today said they're going to achieve rent higher than they previously thought. AIM cancellation. Now, I don't know what that is. IOG. They said at the request of the company, the following securities have been cancelled from AIM with effect from the time of this notice. Are they coming back? I don't know. Doesn't look 4.9. What is this advert? I got to watch a sailboat and ladies in things. I don't know. Oh no, sorry, they're not. They're gone. IOG's gone. Another one gone. Another one bites the dust. That's the most read today. Second most read. Eight Energy. They're going into Namibia. A farming agreement in Namibia there. And so what's it costing? You've got to look what it costs down here. It's going to pay Monitor, which is the owner-operator, $3.7 million over 4 installments. There we are. So they've got Alaska as well, of course. But say significant working interest with future potential to transition to a project operator. Okay. Let's have the chart of 80 Energy. I know it's always well-read, 80 Energy, but... it's coming a bit. It's flatlining there for a bit. So nothing much to see here. Nothing to see here. Vast. People just read that. Whatever happens. There's someone selling here. Capstan Investment Advisors down from 6.14 to 4. Dropped 2% on that. I know Vast is. We looked at the chart previously, but it seems to be in a bit of a downtrend. In fact, it's now breaking lows. Lower than previous lows there. So that doesn't look promising on the chart there. But, of course, you can get an operational update that'll move that in the right direction. This is good news for Sieta. This secures a second major e-drive order. This is where it's going to happen there. That's the 33,000 square foot production facility in Delhi, India. Now, they said that the pilot, the purchase order is approximately £106,000 for the pilot production over 3 months. But they say targeted volumes indicated by the client could be worth $12.7 million to Sieta with expected minimum of 60,000 orders over a 5-year period. This is nice to see pictures in RSs now, isn't it? Let's liven that up a bit. Yeah, more pictures. In fact, I did see we'll probably get to it. The picture day, RNS, where there's loads of pictures in there. Beacon Energy, they increase their reserves and things. In fact, let's go set a chart. Said. That's said. Yeah. I did take a position here and go back out there when they broke back down. But I remember being in Sion Park when it kept rallying. I think it was here, I think it was. It kept rallying. Oof, Sion Park in Thailand. Sion Park in Tenerife. I'm just checking my stocks. Look at that. It's still rallying. Yeah, it needs to break. Look at that. It is. Yeah, well, it's broken above that little gap up here. Still not convincing. But let's just take the 50-day off because it's a bit messy sometimes. Oh, what's that? I don't want that one either. Cross. There we go. 200-day. See, I mean, it's never really broken the 200-day moving average there. Any news you've seen so far? I'll keep looking through Vox, but let me know if you have any news you want to look at. Let's have a look. IAG went into admin a few weeks back. Good news from Saturday, just need sort of financing. Yes, I thought they're still talking about financing as well. I mean, that's the thing that's holding it back, I suppose. A possible way to buy AIM is through one of AIM's VCTs, Amati or Octopus. Yeah, by the way, that's right. Yeah, good point. Octopus, by the way, you're better off going for maybe a fund manager who's more selective, you know, and they don't pick all some resource stocks and that stuff. But I mean, having said that, resource stocks can rally very strongly from the bottom of market. When the market turns, a lot of these resource stocks will rally very strongly. You're going to make sure the fund's in place. Not Octopus Energy, different company. The fund managers. Octopus do a microcap fund. And I think when I last looked at it, it was something like 20% a year. And that's what I'm saying. You know, you can get funds that will return you close to that. So when you're looking at risk reward, you know, you got to think of, okay, what am I actually making here? And unless you can see, you know, a through way to a more than 20% gain on an individual stock, you may as well go for a fund. Because they're safer, they're more diversified, and less stress. But you know, you've got to look at the reward. What's the potential upside here? When you look at companies, you're thinking, how much am I likely to get from this? You know, by looking at the, you know, forecasts, all that stuff, doing your own sort of, you know, workings out. That's why I use my spreadsheet, see, potential of a company. So growth, value, health, efficiency, you know, and then potential, and then, of course, technicals. Is there a small cap that doesn't highlight numbers where they exclude whatever costs they like? I don't know. I mean, check out that thing. If someone knows about it, check out, look at Octopus Microcap fund. Look that up, and if you can tell me by the end of the show, look at the fees on that, because the performance that was very good, but I don't know about the fees, of course, and that plays into it. Why did you buy said if it was under 200 moving average? Good point. I bought it because they were, like, at the time, I think they were valued about cash. They had cash. They did say they had enough cash to become profitable. And then they rallied, and I had to put a stop loss in, and they kicked back out. Well, in fact, you know what? It's obviously too early, wasn't I? Because it wasn't sustainable. In fact, let me look at this. Yeah, so like I said, I've got it here pretty much. I think it broke. Did it break the 50 here? Yeah, there we are. Broke the 50. And you want to see it break a previous high. So I was saying that was a previous high, and it broke that. But then it wasn't sustainable because they need funding. So if you want a sustainable rise, it's, you know, really the fundamentals have to be there as well, as technicals. But that is a short-term rally, 50-day. It's not reliable. It's not as reliable as a 200-day, you know. When you see some of that, I just saw it going down and down and down. I thought, this is ridiculous. It is getting to this point where, you know, like I said, they had sort of similar cash to the market cap. And so nothing else priced in. But now, of course, they've got less cash because they're burning it. Any other things? Imminent trading update from Card. Next couple of days, I reckon. Supermodel says this, Card Factory, which should be very good, judging by how busy they've been in a few branches that I visited during the last few days. I see, Supermodel, have you been visiting Card Factory shops, have you? As a potential investor with a notepad and a clipboard. How much are you paying? You should stand outside asking people, what's the average spend, please, madam? Copper has bounced off a year low. Yeah, in fact, I did see copper rallying today. Let's look at some commodities, shall we? Before we get into more news stocks, let's have a look at commodities are going at the moment. Commodities. So the highest rally today is natural gas. It's a bit bumpy, that one. But trying to break up, let's get rid of the 50. Bad turn of day, look. Again, up that. Oh, high, 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 low. I did read, I'm sure it was on Bloomberg or somewhere I was watching, and they did say there may be an LNG glut this year because a lot of people have been storing. But, you know, ignore the noise sometimes. Ignore the chart of that. Where's it going then? It looks like it's going higher. I mean, if you look at that, it's fallen off a cliff after Ukraine thing came down. But it's now starting to rally. It tends to rally, you know, in the winter anyway, natural gas. WTI is oh, well, it's bouncing off the thing. Platinum, where's copper then? HG, where's copper? Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's not convincing, is it? You know, it's literally, it's having a little bounce here, but it's yeah. Doctor of Copper, of course. I mean, that's when it starts a rally, you can safely say, and in fact, look at that downward trend. It didn't break that almost, you know, it done it once, then come back down, but you can see that downward trend there. It's trying to break, but the support here, so maybe this could be forming a bottom in copper. I like to say, they do say it's the barometer of global growth. So when copper starts a rally, it's, hey, here we go. And in fact, this, when did it rally last time? 2020, look at that. From 2020, you know, to 2022, and they started falling off a cliff. Anything else rallying? Where's gold? Yeah, gold has come off a bit, hasn't it? From let me just get rid of that. Yeah. Struggle, you know, a high there, lower high. It's not convinced here. It's not really good, moving anyway. Okay, let's go through the few others. Alchemy. Capital Reserves, they're delighted to announce that its wholly owned subsidiary, Tees Valley Lithium, has entered into a lithium supply head of terms agreement with the international trading house, Wogen Resources. Wogen, not Wogen, as in Terry. Agreement in principle reached with them, what is it? Wogen supply 20,000 tonnes annually, sufficient to fill the first train at Wilton for an initial period over 5 years. The price of lithium carbonate feedstock will be negotiated. Okay. So Paul Athley used to be at Berkeley Energia, didn't he? Trying to get that almost uranium mine away in Spain, but they ran into a lot of environmental problems there. They're trying to establish, by the way, an independent and sustainable lithium hydroxide production by developing a lithium sulfate and lithium hydroxide facilities in the UK and Australia. But I don't know. Did look at the finance. Have they raised any money recently? Because wasn't that the issue? Let's have a look at the RNS is here. 9.2 million market cap. List price target. Fit price target. TEL. I don't know about that. I don't know anything. But just trying to capitalize on the old, lithium supply deficit that should be coming. But it's not a pretty looking chart so far. You see, the series of lower highs. Bumping on the bottom there. We're not really doing much, is it? Seattle's there. We've got that Empire extensive what's this? Titanium mineralization. Where's this? New drill targets. New drill targets. Blah, 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 blah. It's really looking strong, isn't it? And Empire Metals. Look at that. That's a chart where you can see a range there. Downtrend. Look, three states of chart. Downtrend, range pretty much, uptrend, breaking up. And you can see even there that previous low is above, you know, the previous highs here. So that's a good chart. But even if you say, you know, if you stick to that, to just get these off, the red lines, they're confusing it. But even if you wait for the 200 moving average, look, boom, yep, came back down, boom, back up. That one, you'd always get fake breaks now and again. It's not 100%. If it's 100%, that's all algos would do, wouldn't they? You know. But like I say, you can't limit your downside. Let's have a look here. And Biome, is it Alba? What are they doing there? I tell you what, if they're still dewatering Clogau St. David's coal mine, there's going to be more water there now because it rains in Wales a lot. I know that. I'm from Wales. I go over the Severn Bridge. Literally, I've done that so many times, and it's been sunny all the way down. And they go over the Severn Bridge into Wales, it starts to rain. So they're going to have an uphill battle dewatering that mine in Clogau, Dolgellau, because that's all it is. So Biome, encouraging with down 10%, or down 4%. I think they broke because they've downgraded the top line a little bit. now, which filters into every other sort of metric, of course. But nevertheless, the bioplastics division, up 18%, Q3, 1.3 million. What's the market cap? Let's have a look. It did rally off lows, 4.4 million. It's a nano cap. I did hold these. I did quite like them. Then the bear market started. I took a bit of a washing, took a bit of a beating on these. But like I say, even there, you know, you see previous highs, break up. And even, back to 200-day moving average there. Let's have a look at some quick rises and fallers. No idea that's rising. Rui, nothing here. I think 3.6 holdings in company. We asked, what was it last week? Mark Bradshaw. Ever know Mark? He's taking 3.6%. That's gone up there. What else is there? Brave Bison have come up with some contracts, which is taking a bit of a ham in recently, because, of course, they're in the social media advertising, sort of PR, sort of, you know, for companies. They help companies raise awareness of them on social media and all that stuff. But they've announced a couple of new contracts here. So further 24 months with National Electricals, worth over 2 million. Commerce signed a contract with Finnish homeware retailer worth 1 million. They signed a contract with a Dutch car parts retailer worth another million. So it's around about 4 million's worth there. Oliver's happy. Oliver's army. Do you remember that? Oliver's Army. One of the first single. Was that one of the first single they bought? Oh, it was doing very well. You can see here, nice uptrend. Look. And then it has started to roll over a little bit. And this area here is support, I suppose. And then it's come back down. What's the valuation now? What's the market cap? I shouldn't say valuation. 22. Okay. And what was half year report? Let's go to that. Okay. Revenue. So they are. It's slightly making cash. So there's plenty of cash. Slight loss, profit before tax. Adjusted 1.5. That's not bad, you know. I don't think the margins of that. But essentially, they are. If they're doing that, 17 million for the half year, to do 35 million. Less, you know, way less than one time sales and profitable with cash. Interesting. Let's have a look. Card, we should look at Card. Octopus AIM VCT has an ongoing charge of about 2%. Oh, there we are. Others are similar, like Amati, Hargreave Hale, Unicorn, Barons Mead. Only hold Barons Mead, but looking closely, adding. Okay. Craig. Scuttlebutt, yeah, it's doing your research, popping into card factory shops with your clipboard, asking people, how much did you spend a day, madam? Oh, yes. Did you buy a balloon? Disappointed to discover that MBT, Mobile Tornado Group, is not an AIM-listed tornado chaser. Yeah, Mobile Tornado Group. I know. I don't know what is it. We should look into that. But it's not a card factory on the chart. Because it has rallied strongly, then, of course, it travelled towards those results. And then it came off a little bit. So the results came here, and it dropped, didn't it, by literally, was it 10%, 11% on the results. But look at that. Weakness. Back above 200 a day, nice. So we need to get above these, you know, previous highs. But it's building, isn't it? So, well, hang on a second. The update was on the 26th of December. When are they doing a trading update then? It's quite soon, isn't it? Let's have a look. Card Factory, 360 million market cap. How do you know about a trading update? But judging by last time, unless they knock it out of the park. You know, literally, it travelled towards that, didn't it? It's almost, you know, as often happens, you know, companies travel towards the news and the news comes out, people sell. It's a liquidity event and people tend to get out of it then. What else are we looking at? Oh, yes, front page. I want to look at this. There was a faller here. Some big fallers. Look at this. This is a worry, okay? I thought they got the date wrong. So they're Amati Power, right? Sulky from power delivery safety, all that stuff, but they had problems with it. Now, is that right? 190 grand market cap, that's what they are, right? Financing update. So it did say they've made good good progress in negotiations with and due diligence by equity investor with regards to proposed 2.5 million, as further described in the company's announcement on 25th of July. The group has sufficient cash until the week commencing the 27th of November, 2023. How, what? 2023? Actually, when I read that, I looked at my clock next to me that's got the date on it. I thought, that's next week, isn't it? Well, 10 days away. So the week commencing, so they can last for 2 weeks. And I thought, that is right. But anyway, they say they're currently in discussions with equity providers and other interested parties to provide sufficient bridge financing through to completion of this placing. In the event these discussions are not concluded positively, it would be likely that MT Power would not be able to meet its financial obligations and go bust. Is that another one? See, so many of these now, you're seeing on a weekly basis, you know, AIM companies, pre-revenue loss-making, who don't have cash, are struggling. They really are struggling. And many of them won't make it, you know. So, a couple of biggies here. There's one here. Anyone familiar with the Kainos Group? Because according to this, it's 1.2 billion. Now, if you look at the results today, interim results, 1.2 billion. The revenue, what? I don't know if that's the right market cap. What's the ticket of Kainos? Sorry. K-N-O-S. K-N-O-S. But it's come off a lot on these results. When, 1.5 billion. So it is that. It is right there. Anyone familiar with Kainos? I mean, you can see there, it's coming downwards, you know. But nevertheless, any idea why this company is? I mean, the growth is not bad. The figures are, I mean, bookings have gone down 9%, essentially. So if you profit before tax, I don't understand this. So let's say they're doing double that, so 60 million, then 1.2, so 10 or 20, so PE 20 maybe. But nevertheless, I don't know why it's come off so hard today, because it doesn't seem like it's a massive problem. They are quite positive all the way through, but they've come off to 20% down. Maybe it's just a case of being a little bit overvalued in this market. And if you are a little bit overvalued, that's also a risk, of course, because if you're not going to hit those figures or you're not going to exceed on those figures, then people start to think, oh, they're a bit highly valued. But do any of you know anything about that? Another one I quite like, I'm going to say another one, I don't like Kainos because I know it. I don't say I don't like it. Is FDM Group. So they train people, IT recruitment, basically. But I like the way they do this. But the trading statement's out today. And they've got no cash. robust balance sheet, 35 million cash. And this is one of the companies in recruitment, you know. They do say there's an issue here with people, macro and geopolitical uncertainties continue to cause clients to delay and defer decisions around project commencements and consultant placements. But then they do say at the end, the performance of 2024 will, however, be impacted by a lower than previously anticipated number of consultants assigned to clients. So they are expected to come down a little bit. But 35 million cash, no debt, profitable, interim dividend of 17 pence a share, amount to 18.5 million. Paid on 25th. So they pay a dividend, but like I said, they're in recruitment. So one of these companies is very cyclical in downturns. People begin laying off staff and all that stuff, and the economy gets tighter and harder, then they'll struggle. But it is one of those companies, I want to revisit that probably on a watch list, because I think, look at that. I think it's a good company. We are now at where we're at. It's not quite an IPO level here. But nevertheless, it's come down massively. It's a half a billion pound company, so of course it's a bit more stable. But in fact, a bit more stable. If you look at the fall here, we've had 71% drop in that in the last 795 days. But FDM, I think it's one for the watch list. If you want bigger companies, pay dividends, decent company, no debt, cash, I think it's definitely one worth watching. Not for now, like I say, you can see the chart there. It's one of those things where you literally. Did I have an alert on this today? I may have had an alert on this. I've had an alert on water. No. But yes, but I think I've got an alert on this. So when it crosses 50-day moving average, I'll be alerted. But yeah, but like I said, they're in that area. It's going to be affected in this downturn. But nevertheless, good companies can bounce back, you know. Anything else there? Tiny bill down. I got alert on that as well. Tiny bill, it's taking a bit of a hammering. Upland's down. Anything else? Most followed QBT still. Marks, good energy. There they are. That's basically it. Steve, Harland, any views on share profits attack, Justin? I don't know what it is. I don't know what, I don't really share profits, to be honest. Kinos, bookings fell 9%. Yeah, they did. Yes. Yeah. I don't know, but, you know, with all these things, don't just jump in because something falls, because you tend to get, you know, further falls. It doesn't just stop on the first fall. You know, like I said, you got to understand now, unless it falls massively, like 70%, and they may have a bounce maybe, but you got to think now, is the next update, because, you know, stocks look ahead, is the next update likely to be any more bullish? If it's not, if the market is still hard, still struggling, you know, the macro and global economic market is still struggling, and they get affected by that, the share price is not going to rally, is it? You know, so in this market, in bear markets, you can take your time, really. Yeah, take your time researching stuff. It's, you know, nothing's going to rally overnight like crazy. Kinos revenue growth of 7% is slowed down. Okay. They more than doubled revenues since 2019. That's it. So it's a growth stock now, almost going ex-growth. So if you invest in a growth stock, it's not growing as fast as you think. And that's why it's afforded a higher valuation. If it's not going to hit those, you know, those forecasts, then it's going to fall off a cliff, because, like I said, the valuation then isn't justified going forward. Yeah, ex-growth. Marvellous. Okay, that's let's look at quickly on some macro. It's not all that out there, really. There's the same old. I don't know if you saw Rightmove said asking prices for UK homes fall by the most in 5 years. So 1.7% they fell between October and November, a bigger fall than is typical for the pre-Christmas. They said asking prices were 3% lower below May's peak. So it's like, I suppose houses are the most stable asset you can own, aren't they? If you make a load of money in stocks and shares, it's worth, you know, buying a house. But I know people say, no, get a mortgage. I don't think so. I think because it's stable. Because even now, in 10 years, in the last 10 years, house prices have gone down once. That's it. You know, doesn't happen very often. So if you want to, you know, put your money into something, a safe, stable asset, it is a house, essentially. That's 3%. Like I said, even now, it's only down 3%. So your 100,000 pound house is now worth 97,000. Like, so what? Have you invested in AIM stocks? That's, you know, it's hardly volatile, that. Sales are 10% below their pre-pandemic levels. There were signs that the shortage of homes for sale were easing, though, with properties for sale now only 1% behind their 2019 level. So there we are. Sales are coming back online. And one other thing, a little bit worrying, there's strong pay growth. But this is in the, you know, looking in the backward mirror, I suppose. Strong pay growth in Britain's private sector will be matched in the public sector in the year ahead. Okay, the year ahead. That's a little worrying. Private and public sectors both planned 5% pay rises, meaning public workers were on course for their biggest pay rise since CIPD began its survey in 2012. The Bank of England expects wage growth of 4.25% next year, a big part of the decision to keep interest rates at a 15-year high of 5.25, despite a fall in the inflation headline. I don't think when, you know, these interest rates start to cut and business start to slow down, there's not going to be any more competitive pay offers. You know, people will be laying people off, I believe, unless you're in a niche area of very fast-growing companies. But generally, when businesses are struggling, they're not going to take on more people, are they? So there'd be more people unemployed and more people then. More, you know, any vacancies that come available, people are unemployed for a while, they'll be paid to accept lower levels of pay. So that will tick down. No worry there, I think. This is a macro generalization there. Okay, that's it. Yeah, it's GB. It's first-time buyers I feel sorry for with house price inflation. Once you're on the ladder or treadmill, it doesn't make a lot of difference if you can afford the mortgage. Yeah, absolutely correct. Yeah, it is. Like I said, I mean, I saw a TikTok video posted on Twitter about this lady saying, you know, debt of 5.25% and all that stuff, and mortgage rates as they are, no big deal. Look at the 80s. But what you don't understand is that house prices now are literally, I think, they average about 8 to 10 times your annual salary, whereas back then they were 2 or 3 times. So it's a completely different ballgame, and there's more debt in the system now. You know, more people do have a lot more debt now than did back in the 70s or 80s. So it is a different thing, even at 5%, you know, interest rates and mortgage rates high. It's different, different ballpark, different game, isn't it? Thank you very much for that. Hopefully, I don't know if John's going to be here. I don't know, it's like a mystery, isn't it? Where's John? That's what we should play. What's that other guy with the stripy shirt? I can't think of his name now. But where's that guy with the stripy shirt? Where's John? So I don't know if he's here tomorrow, but by all means, if you like the content, hit the thumbs up, share it with everyone you know, even strangers. In fact, Sip Mono, go out with your clipboard and say, have you listened to this live show? And don't forget, it's a free app for you, but I do believe it's, you know, genuinely very worthwhile having, and that's the Vox Markets app. So give that a try if you could. Wally. Yeah, where's Wally? That's it. That's it. Where's Wally? Where's Johnny? Where's Johnny? Anyone? But until tomorrow, have a nice day. Speak then. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.